This is very much what the Apostle Paul tells us then also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3-5. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Thus far, the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let us pray. O Lord, we ask that you will bless this morning the reading and the preaching of your word. And again, make us wise in how we are to live our life before you. We ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Amen. What is truth? That is the question that has plagued humanity since the fall into sin. Since that very first time that Eve was tempted. What is truth? And where do we find it? Countless books have been written about it. Gallons and gallons of ink has been spilled about. People from different directions trying to figure out what truth is. But what is it really? It's remarkable when we read the Bible as well. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was arrested, stood right in front of Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" As the truth incarnate was standing right there. What is truth? See, that exposes to us in our own views, our own weaknesses. We are by nature sinners, and therefore sin, the sin that we do is against God, and it's untruthful, it's falsehoods that we then worship if we do sin. So that is truth. What is truth? That's the question. And it especially is prevalent today in the church. The Old Testament passage I just read was about Israel. My people are dying because of a lack of knowledge. They are dying because they do not know the truth. And in this context that we see here, this is also the Apostle Paul talking about truth in the church. Oh, we see it so often nowadays. I'm sure you must have heard about it. That people, when they read a passage, they say they interpret that passage in a certain way. They read it and I call it exegetical pretzeling, where they literally tie themselves up in knots to declare a Bible passage in a way that it doesn't say the same thing that it says. Instead of reading what the Bible says there and thinking out of it what it says, they change the meaning. Well, these same people would not take a newspaper article and do the same in that. They will just read the article and say, "Okay, yes, that's what it says," and they will go on. Or like a novel. Or imagine if you read the Encyclopedia Britannica like that. Everything that you read there, you just read a little bit so it doesn't mean the same thing. But that's what they do with Scripture. They interpret Scripture. Instead of just taking out of it, reading its plain meaning, and seeking what it tells us. It is not too difficult to understand the important things in Scripture. The important things in Scripture are clear. And there are passages that declares what is unclear to be clear in almost all circumstances. But we see here what Paul says, what it brings. false doctrine, false teachings within a church causes division. It is a thing that needs to be rooted out if it exists in a church. It is extremely, extremely important, therefore, for the people to understand, you and I, not just me, but everyone in the church, to understand what the true doctrine is. Because it is such a dangerous thing if false doctrines slip into a church. So we will see this morning, the theme of this text is the importance of knowing true doctrine in order to refute falsehoods. The importance of knowing true doctrine in order to refute falsehoods. And we'll look at it under two headings. Firstly, we'll see the importance of knowing true doctrine, and secondly, we'll see the result of believing false doctrine. Here's look what it said. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness. See, that's the first point we see here. That is the true doctrine. The doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and those that conforms with godliness. That is what we are to have. The true doctrine. See, what Paul is doing here is with this text, is warning us. He's warning Timothy. Timothy, you need to be careful. You need to understand there are people who will come into this church that they will destroy this church if you're not careful, with all kinds of different doctrines that they will bring in. Actually, the Greek word there for, when it talks about here for different doctrine, he talks about those who teach, who literally teach divisive doctrine. He talks about doctrine that is counter to the gospel, that divides the church. So that's why he speaks out so harshly against this. And we have to understand, truth is something that's very important. If we do not understand what the truth is, how are we going to understand what falsehood is? Look at the subtleties of the lies of Satan. Go read again the fall into sin, where Eve listened to Satan. Satan twisted those words just a little bit, just slightly, to give it a different meaning. And if you do not understand what the truth is, what the Bible says, it's very easy to fall for that as well. So therefore, we need to know it. And where do we find the truth? Very simple. Right here. This is where we find the truth. God has revealed it for us. He has preserved it for us. This is where we find it. It is for us, if we can say it this way maybe, it is given for us so we can learn it and understand it. And it is for us like a lens almost, that we can see the rest of the world, that we can interpret the rest of the world to see whether it is true or false. This world is fallen. This world is cursed by sin. And we need to be able to understand where the pitfalls are. Therefore, we need to know the Bible. But Paul talks about here the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is his doctrine, and it's comprehensive. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only in the New Testament. It's all through the Bible. You see bits and pieces of how he is prefigured, even in worship, in sacrifices in the temple, in how he appeared to people in the Old Testament, how he is predicted in the prophets, everywhere. We see Christ everywhere, all through the scriptures. It is a delightful thing to see how it all forms a unity. The Bible itself. Yes, 66 books. But it's one unit. It's God's revelation that he has given us. And yes, he is a friend of sinners. That's what we have to understand. He knows who we are. We are dust.
We are weak. We cannot resist Satan's attacks. We cannot by our own understand the falsehoods of his lies.
We have to depend on him. He is a friend of sinners. That's the good news. The truth is good news. The truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sin.
And we have to embrace that.
We have to embrace the words that he has said for us and given to us in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ and the works that he has done as a prophet, revealing for us his word and his will throughout the Bible. As a priest who offered himself as the perfect sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And also intercedes for us. Even now today. That he comes between us. That's the truth. That's the good news. And him as a king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who's submitting all his enemies before him. Who's using them then as a footstool. Who were against him. The truth is also then conforming to godliness. Talk about a true godliness. And what is this? That's simple. Obedience to Christ. Paul talks about that in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. That we have to conform or submit every thought. We have to have every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Even our very thoughts needs to be obedient to him. So everything, our whole life, needs to be obedient to Christ. And we also have to seek the fruit of the Spirit. That is true godliness. If people see us, they need to see who Christ is, who God is. And we see in Galatians 5, as I read last week as well, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love. Very first in the line there. We are to love God. Love our neighbor. Joy. Joy in even times of hardship. And I'm very, very grateful to say, and I talk to Alice. And I've spoken to her a few times, visited her with a few times at last. But even in this time of much uncertainty, she's always smiling. That is as true Christian as I can see that. Showing to the world that that person is trusting the Lord. That is joy in time of hardship. Peace, as far as we are. As far as we can, we are to keep peace with everybody. That's what Paul exhorts us in Romans chapter 12. We have to have patience. Patience is one of the characteristics of a Christian. John Calvin actually said that is the most evident characteristic of a Christian. How do you know someone's a Christian? Are they patient? That's the question. Kindness. We have to be kind. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. This is all part of it. Self-control. How can someone who cannot control his eating and drinking or his looking on the internet for things he should not look at, or someone who is having angry outbursts that is not self-controlling, how can that person say that they are seeking the fruit of the Spirit? That is the question. So it is necessary, it is absolutely necessary to have the truth. We have to have the truth. And we find the example there that Paul is also giving us in Acts 17 talks about the Bereans there, the Berean church, which it should be for us. It should be a great example. When he talks about the Bereans, he says, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were true." See what they did there. Paul called them noble-minded people because they did this. They received the word with eagerness. The reading and the preaching of the word that Paul brought to them, they received it with eagerness. They wanted more. But not only that, they went home and then they paged through the Bible. Is this really true what it says? That is what a noble-minded person is. In the eyes of God. Seeking the truth. Seeking what He has revealed for us. And this is particularly important for church officers. And I praise the Lord. I've recently talked to Pastor Benhoff that he has done that here. That he taught church officers. And I understand Ben, not only him, but also Pastor Ken Honken did that. And I praise the Lord that these men have done that. They have done good here already, laying the foundation for these things. And that is the reason I'm also going through the Westminster Standards with these men who are being trained. It is absolutely necessary. Something that we cannot skimp on. For these reasons that we see here. So I'm asking this morning for all of us. Where are you? Are you truly seeking the knowledge that we find in Scripture? Are you seeking like the Bereans? That is the question. Because otherwise, here is what the result is in the second point. The result of believing false doctrine we see also then in verses 4 and 5. Beginning verse 3 for the context. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and he does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in the controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Actually, in the majority of Greek texts that have been found, there's a little phrase, or actually a little sentence that follows that Paul exhorts Timothy to have nothing to do with these people. Those who are bringing false doctrine in have nothing to do with them. Let's see what he does here. He talks about, verse 4, this person is conceited and understands nothing. The Greek word there actually has a stronger meaning. It talks about him being puffed up. He's puffed up in himself. He's a prideful person. I know better than anybody else. I'm not going to listen to what the Bible says. I know it. He's puffed up, characterized by pride. That is the person who seeks false doctrine. And he understands nothing, is what Paul is saying. He understands nothing. He has a morbid interest in controversy. Seeks up division in the church. Seeks to divide the people of God. That is one of the oldest tricks that Satan has used. He does that to harm us. He seeks his own glory. Look at what he describes here. He has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. Like to parse these little words and make sure that I'm proven right, and nobody else is really right. Out of which arise envy, strife, and abuse of language. How many churches have split up because of things like these? That it does seep into the church. They are, as Paul here says, they are deprived of the truth. They understand nothing. They are deprived of the truth. So what does that tell us? If you hear something or read something that stands in conflict with the Bible, which is the truth then? It's the Bible. If someone tells me, my Bible says the world was created in 6 days, and someone tells me, no, actually it is millions and millions of years that things just came by itself together, and there really wasn't anything that God did to them. They just happened. Which one do you believe? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe those who claim themselves to be scientists? Who are saying things that are in conflict with the scriptures? Those are the things that we need to be careful for. If something is in conflict with the scripture, it is false. God is truth. And I remind you again the context of this. This is in the church itself that we find this. We find division within the church because of false doctrines that seep in. And we need to be aware of that. And the only place that we can be conscious of that is we understand and know the scriptures very well. And of course the confessions. Our confessions that we have here is a summary of the scriptures, of the body of doctrine. We can use it as a very helpful tool. That is why we, in our preparation class, is going through Westminster Standards. Because it is a helpful tool for us to understand what the Bible says. But he says here also, they are deprived of truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They don't conform to godliness. That's the difference. They don't conform to godliness, but they see it as a means of gain. Means of gain for respect in the society, or respect from other people. They're prideful people, remember? As Paul has called them here. They're puffed up. That describes for us perfectly who the Pharisees are. If we believe the same things as these, we are no better than the Pharisees. This is an external showing of godliness which is not in the heart. That is not truth. If we only, for the rest of the world, show how wonderful Christians we are, we come to church every day, but in the meantime our hearts are full of murder and envy and strife, that's a dangerous place to be. That is truly a dangerous place to be. The Pharisees, we have to remember also, worship God by rules that they set themselves. They did not follow what the Lord prescribed. But they laid burdens on people from things that was not in the scriptures. And God truly hates false worship. He hates those who are false at heart. He hates hypocrites. He seeks us to repent of our sins. Seek holiness. Paul is seeking to protect the church here. And protect the people of God. So again, the question this morning, which side are you on when we read this? Are you seeking the truth in Scripture? I've been very surprised when I talk to some of you that I ask you, how often do you read the Scriptures? And some of you say, I don't. Some of you that I came to that I ask you, how many times do you read the Scriptures? And you say, I don't have a Bible. Are you seeking the truth in the Scriptures? Or are you guided by your own imaginations? That's the question. That's the question. Be a Berean, as Paul exhorted as well. Be a Berean. Seek to be noble-minded. Seek the Scriptures daily. Read your Bible. 4 chapters a day, and you read the Bible through in a year. That's nothing. That's nothing. Paul is promoting your church unity with this exhortation. And this is how it's done then. Seek the truth in Scripture, very first. Submit to God's will as He reveals to us in Scripture, and reject falsehood. That's the first step to church unity. And in that we can also rest. Let us pray.